And from ghosts to skeletons now, on a recent question and answer show here on The Naked Scientists, Chris Smith spoke to human origins expert Lee Berger from Wits University in Johannesburg about his recent Homo naledi discovery at the Rising Star Cave. He even brought skulls, hands and feet with him.
You've got some guest interviewees on the table in front of us. There are two skulls either side of you, Lee, there.
One's an old friend, of course. One is the actual type specimen of Homo naledi from the Dinaledi chamber. This is the one that we announced almost 3 years ago, I guess. And we didn't know how old they were at the time, but it was the most complete skull that we had. Interestingly, if you're looking at this skull to describe it, it's a brown skull, but the white part in the front is the nose area we didn't have. These are some of the most fragile bones in the body, and they did not preserve in those early specimens that we were pulling out. So we kind of guessed at it. The rest of it all fit together, but we had to kind of guess at what the central face would look like. So we actually put a nose on there based on the way the face was angling down and also the very advanced features we're seeing in some of the back parts of the skull. And I'm really pleased to say that we discovered a skull in another chamber, the Lacetti chamber, and we announced it about 4 months ago.
This is the same cave system. It's another chamber off of where you discovered these
specimens. About 110 meters away, again, 40 meters deep, very inaccessible. We found a skeleton there that had a complete skull. This is the skull in Ao. I'm holding that one now in front of us. And I'm pleased to say, after all that work, we got the face wrong in the original reconstructions. It's very clear when you see Neo's nose that it's much flatter. And when I hold them up together, you can see the difference in the reconstructions.
You hedged your bets a bit when you guessed, because you gave him a much more prominent nose, more towards what we would regard as humanish.
Or a Homo erectus-y kind of thing. And that was being led by some of the shape of the skull. It's clear, though, that Homo naledi, Neo's skull and face is much flatter, much more primitive.
Just to describe this for people at home, the actual skull vault is about a bit bigger than fist size, I'd say. So this would have been quite a small-headed individual. When would these have been running around on Earth?
When I was on your show last, we said, well, they must be millions of years old. Every scientist was trying to guess at how old Homo naledi was based on the anatomy of the heads of the body. There were several papers published saying it was 1.5 million, 2 million, maybe 2.5 million years old. We now know that this population of Homo naledi in the Dinaledi chamber is actually around 250,000 years old, between about 180,000 and about 340,000, with a central point around 250,000 years. That is really young. It's really kind of put a landmine in the middle of archaeology and paleoanthropology, because that sort of primitive ancient human relative should not have been alive at that point, according to what we'd been finding.
Megan was talking about the ancient Egyptians burying their dead. That's the striking thing about these individuals, isn't it? You found this in a cave system where really the only way they could have got those bodies into that cave system is that they took them there.
Our very controversial hypothesis that we put forward about 3 years ago was that the Dinaledi chamber was a deliberate body disposal site, that they came down this amazingly narrow chute entrance. It has enclosures 17.5 centimeters wide, say 7.5 inches wide, down 12 meters, which is 50 feet or so. And so we did hypothesize that they were deliberately disposed of the dead. That's not been disproved. It still sits as the most valid hypothesis. We now have, of course, not just one more chamber, the Lacetti chamber. We found another chamber. I just came out from underground about 4 weeks ago. Now, it's one thing when we talk about Egypt or other places and deliberate body disposal like that, but not with this brain. It's just very hard to fathom that they had that complexity, yet we're faced with it is what it is.
They're very small-brained, aren't they? If one looks at the inside of the skull, you can get some idea as to what bits of the brain might have been doing what and what the behavior of an animal may have been, because it tells you about the size of the underlying brain. So if you look at these specimens, what does the brain look like?
Well, in fact, that paper is just about to come out.
Oh, damn.
And no, it's okay. I'll go ahead and break it.
For the naked scientist.
I'll give you the exclusive. It's very complex. Our scientist who's been studying our image of the brain that's pounded out on the inside of the skull, all his life said, it's finally the brain I've been looking for my entire life, because it's very advanced. It's very complex, but it's tiny.
Did they have language? If you look, is there a swelling on the left-hand side, roughly where the language center might be? Were they talking to each other?
Broca's area is enlarged in this. There's bilateral asymmetry. We don't know if they had language. I can tell you, though, if we are right about this sort of very complex behavior, it'd be very surprised if they did not have a language or a communication much more complex than any animal communication we know of.
And that was our very own Chris Smith there, talking to Lee Berger from Wits University in South Africa.